Hello there, and welcome to the Sports Report. We are your hosts. I am Ben Meredith.
And I am also Ben Meredith.
Today we're going to be getting into a lot of different things, but primarily our two main focuses are going to be on Wildcat sports, as a lot has happened over the last 2 weeks since our last episode, and some college basketball, as the same for that. There's been way more things happen in college basketball. We're going to cover just a very small amount of it, and then just a sprinkle of NFL mixed in there, so a pretty short episode for you today. But yeah, Dad, how's life going?
Life's going. Happy to be here.
Glad you're here as well. But yeah, so our March Madness themed question of the day. We have a question of the day every now and then whenever I feel festive. And today's themed question is going to be slightly different because of our age differences. So our question is top five Carolina moments in your memories, in your memory. But I'm going to add a thing in here so we have zero overlap. You cannot pick anything that I would remember. So from, we'll say 2012, because I remember 2015 and on.
Yeah.
So I remember Tokoto. I remember that age group. From that year forward, I'll take. From that year backwards till 1985, you'll take. I'm guesstimating there.
I was not paying much attention as a five-year-old.
I wasn't sure.
I was present.
I was paying attention as a five-year-old somewhat. But yeah. So, we'll start with you. Your number five biggest moment in Carolina basketball.
I should really prepare things for these. I'm just going to give you off the top of my head. I'm going to think of them, and then I'm going to say them. So, these are probably in no particular order. But I have a very vivid memory of the 93 championship
season.
I would say game, but I don't. I remember the game. I remember the timeout and Chris Webber calling the timeout, but
I forgot that was 93.
But I think that's what I'll go with as my first pick. Again, in no particular order, but that 93 game, I can very vividly remember because my friend Michael Newport, shout out Michael Newport, big Michigan fan. He was all about the Fab Five, all about all of that, and then we won. And so I had some bragging rights on that one. And they had beaten us earlier in the season, so I had been hearing about it the whole season.
Was Michael Newport a Michigan fan, or was he just an anti-Carolina fan?
No, he was a Michigan fan.
Okay.
He wore Michigan jerseys to school and things like that. He had extended family in the Michigan area and a transplant down to North Carolina, and so definitely a true blue Michigan fan, not just anybody but Carolina.
Okay, cool, because I know a lot of your friends in high school were in that variety based on conversations that we've had. Yeah, so for me, number five, gosh, this is tough. I was not awake for this game, but I'm just going to throw it on here because of how amazing the shot was, regardless of the outcome, because we're going to talk about the outcome, is Marcus Page. That individual shot with under 15 to go and really under 5 to go in the national championship game. We're thinking we're going to overtime, timeout Villanova, just massive shot. Followed by Jenkins, but that shot was so dang good.
Yeah,
and yeah, so
that's perhaps the loudest I've ever heard the Dean Dome.
Oh yeah, that's right. I forgot you were.
Was in the Dean Dome watching the game with mostly students, but that was loud, and then it was the opposite of loud, very in quick succession. Good pick. My number two pick. Oh man,
I'm going five to.
Oh, sorry. I told you. Mine are
you're
in
no particular order. Okay.
I'm thinking of these on the fly. I can remember the Hubert Davis years as a player.
Uh-huh.
I was not a huge fan, not anything like once I went there and since. But I can remember that because of mainly the hairdos. Hubert with the high top fade, I guess they called it. And then at one point he had a double two-level flat top.
I saw that. Yeah.
And so, yeah, I can remember that. So nothing really specific as far as March or March Madness with that. I can go back. I know now in having read about it and gone back and watched videos of their March Madness run that fell short. But as a player, Hubert Davis was awesome. Just a great shooter. So remember that.
Uh-huh. Gosh, number four for me. There's May's shot. There is... I was going to put Dave Stickler in there that I couldn't use Coach K, but I think I'm going to have to resort to that at some point because I am drawing a blank.
Yeah, you but have to use.
I was gonna go.
You didn't let me use those years, and if you don't use those, I'm done with this podcast. I have a framed picture of it on my wall. You will talk about that.
Sir, yes, sir. Dang. What? Who was it? And I think we're just gonna have to go with the. Man, I don't want to go with the Luke May shot this early, but I think I'm gonna have to go with the Luke May shot.
All right.
Just how. Just because I remember we told the story on the pod before, but I was at home. You were in San Diego?
Yep, San Diego, California.
San Diego, and I was in Cary, where we lived at the time. And I don't even remember if we watched the full game. I don't remember. I was like 7 or 8, 9 years old. And so I remember watching it, and I remember watching the final part of it and thinking, okay, we're going to overtime. Whatever. It is what it is. May hit that shot. Theo and Mom embraced in a hug. I remember that. And then Mom went, 3 seconds left. 3 seconds left. I went, 0.3, Mom. 0.3. And so then we were like, okay, there's no way that whoever it is, I didn't know who their names were at the time, but in present tense, De'Aaron Fox or Bam Adebayo, shout out, we're going to make those shots. I knew for a fact that they weren't going to hit that. And so I was like, okay, we're going to the Final Four. Awesome. And now that I say that, I have my number three. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, my number three in no particular order memory starting around 2012. I might have told this story on the podcast before. I know I've told it before to my son and to anyone who's sat near me for more than 45 minutes. but the 2005 national championship game, I was a campus minister in Middle Tennessee State, and having moved there, you're either a Kentucky fan or you just do not care about basketball.
Because Louisville and was
the vast majority of the region just didn't care about basketball. And growing up on Tobacco Road, I care about basketball far more than I've ever cared about football, far more than I've ever cared about professional sports. College basketball is my sport. And so I was a bit of a mystery to these sports fans. And so I was leading college guys and Bible studies and stuff, and we were supposed to have a Bible study that night of the championship game. I normally have my Bible studies on Monday night, and of course, national championship games on a Monday night. And so I emailed out or texted, I don't remember, and told everybody, I'm heads up, no Bible study tonight, but you're welcome to come to my house. We'll have the North Carolina game on a big screen, and we had the projector and projected it on a wall and watched the game. And there were several times, and if you've never watched a basketball game with me, I am intense.
Good.
I'm intense and I focus, and especially in a national championship game. And that was the year that Illinois had been number one all year long and North Carolina had been number two most of the year, and the only reason we weren't above them is because we never played them and they never lost. And I don't know about never lost, but they
rarely lost.
Toward the end of the season, they definitely didn't lose because we would have jumped them in the rankings. But yeah, I was intense. I was watching the game, yelling at the team, yelling at the refs, yelling at the other team, just yelling, watching the game. And at one point I came to my senses and looked around. And none of these guys, there's probably 10 guys in the room, students that came over to watch the game with me, and none of them were watching the game. All of them were watching me watch the game. They're like, I don't care about what happens at this basketball game, except that
Ben might lose his job.
He might murder someone based on, there was like this slack-jawed expression on everybody's face. And then we won, so it was all good. I didn't lose my job. I wasn't like yelling profanity, but I was intense.
Didn't you like take your shirt off and run down?
And so I ran down Diana Street there in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, starting at our house and going a full block and running back. And I had a North Carolina flag that hung in my room. It now hangs in my son's room. And
That flag? I thought it was a shower curtain. Never mind. Okay.
No, it was a flag. And I grabbed that flag and I tore my shirt off and ran all the way down the block and all the way back. And this was before the age of cell phone videos and things like that.
I was going to say, man,
all the students got to experience it with me without recording it, which is fortunate for me probably, because But hey, I'm not embarrassed. I would do it again.
Yeah,
I'd go back and do that again.
I did it on
2005.
I did it in Coach K's final home game.
There you go.
But yeah, without the flag. But yeah, that is pretty funny. Number three, I'm going to go ahead and knock off an honorable mention here. I mean, that is just the 2017 team as a whole.
Yes.
I feel Theo Pinson, Joel Berry, Kennedy Meeks, Isaiah Hicks, Tony Bradley, he was on that team. Phenomenal group of guys, and they meshed so well. And I actually do have a funny, I was scrolling through TikTok, and it was like four other players. I think it was like Nate Britt, Barry, Hicks, and Meeks, and Coach Williams are sitting down there. And Theo walks up at the middle of the press conference and goes, "Where's my chair?" And puts his hands up like this. And Coach Williams goes, "I've been coaching 28 years, ever had a player walk up in the middle of a dang press conference. What is happening?" And then everybody's just dying laughing because Theo was just that funny. But yeah, I loved that team. But my number three, man, this is tough. I think I'm going to go with Kennedy Meeks in the Final Four game. I think his performance, like I remember, because when you're that age, I was, again, 7, 8, 9 years old. It was super late at night. Obviously, I'm wide awake because I believe it was a North Carolina player at the line shooting free throws, if I'm not mistaken. I think it was Barry or somebody shooting free throws.
It was an offensive rebound.
And Barry was battling the ankle injury, I believe. And so he was struggling, but he still played phenomenal. But he missed his one-on-ones multiple times, and Meeks would get the rebound, and Meeks would pass it out, and someone would foul. Meeks did not get fouled, praise Jesus, because then Meeks would not have been able to get the rebound. Yeah, I love that team. I think I remember hearing it in the locker room. It was like, Carolina basketball, Sean May, Michael Jordan, Tyler Hansbrough. Y'all are now Carolina basketball. And Kennedy Meeks is Carolina basketball. That's exactly what Sean May preaches now for the Tar Heels. It's exactly what Armando Bacot did 15 years later, 10 years later, or 5, whatever. They did it. And so seeing that in Kennedy Meeks was just amazing. Anyways, your number two.
My number two, gosh, let's see, tapping into the old memory banks. I can remember, I'm trying to come up with a specific game. I have the same story of everyone in my generation who lived along Tobacco Road, and it is that during the ACC tournament, which happened during school, they would wheel in TVs on carts, and you always knew which teacher you prayed you had during which time period, because the biggest fans that were teachers would reserve the best TV and wheel it into the room, and this was...
We just have computers.
We didn't have cable. Yeah. There was no cable TV or flat screens on the wall or anything like that. So you had to check out one of the TVs from the media center and roll it down the hall and plug it in to a coax cable that's connected to an antenna so that you could receive TV. I know I'm speaking a different language.
Yeah,
kids,
I was going to say.
The coax cable to the main line to an antenna on the roof that got one of the four channels that came into the school. And I do remember, believe it was Mr. Holbrook. Shout out Mr. Holbrook. And one of my favorite teachers of all time anyways. But the fact that I don't even think he was a sports fan, but he wanted to be the cool teacher. And so this is 40 years ago now, so I'm...
Gosh, you're old.
Don't quote me on any of this, but in my memory, he wasn't even a sports fan. He just was a cool teacher and phenomenal teacher, really good teacher. But anyways, he reserved the best TV, and they wheel in the TV. You watch the ACC tournament with all of your friends. And I lived in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, home of Wake Forest at the time, and still, but they moved from Wake Forest to Winston-Salem.
It's not confusing at all for the geography people. Yeah, it's
way before my time, in like the early 1900s. But anyways, big Wake Forest fan, a bunch of big Wake Forest fans, I should say, were in the room. I was a North Carolina fan, and anytime we played Wake, I remember that Randolph Childress year that he just scorched us in the ACC tournament. I think that game happened at night. That one was
I was gonna say
I had to watch live. That was for championship, which would have been Sunday. But anyways, yeah, that'll be my number or whatever I'm on. Four? Three? Four?
In two, because we're going five to one.
Okay, cool, cool. My number two.
For me, man, number two, there's so many moments that I'm sure I'm missing, and there's multiple that I'm like, how has he not said that one yet? But for me, my numbers, I'm split between, because the Coach K final home game was not a March Madness moment, going to eliminate that one from contention.
All right.
We all know what number one is, though. Number two, man, I mentioned Joel Berry's ankle. That's an honorable mention for me. Dang. I might have to go with Joel Berry's ankle. I had one, but I forgot about it. I'm going to go with Caleb Love's performance in the UCLA game.
Deep cut.
That was Elite Eight. That one was phenomenal. I could also say that entire... I think I'm just going to say that. The entire 64 through Elite Eight. Like, that team was unstoppable at parts. It was the second half against Baylor, which was two or three atrocious calls. Yeah, like some of the worst basketball officiating I've ever seen. And then they got to referee the Sweet 16 game. The fact they still have jobs baffles me. But yeah, that game, Brady Manick gets a flagrant two foul when he got elbowed in the face. Or no, never mind. He did elbow a guy in the face, but it was a clear basketball move. Should have been a flagrant one. I remember standing up and defending that to Coach Goodman, shout out, because he was like, oh, you care a lot of players are dirty. And I said, you don't know anything about this sport. And I'm not going to repeat the rest of what I said. But yeah, it was just
probably
it was not okay for me to say to an adult. And he just laughed it off. And then the Marquette game, 64, we beat the doors off of them. And then Sweet 16, we were down, I think, four or five. And I remember Charles Barkley in the halftime thing. It was TNT or whatever network does it. CBS, TNT, one of those. And he goes, for this game to go in North Carolina's favor, you need your guards. You need RJ Davis and Caleb Love to step up. And boy, did Caleb Love. He changed shoes and came out and shot amazingly.
It's the shoes, man.
Yeah, it's got to be the shoes. And then that Elite Eight game was never close because it was St. Peter's. We got really lucky with that draw because it would have been Purdue. And I don't know if Purdue would have been as fun of a game because Zach Edey was elite. But yeah, that's my number two. What is your number one?
My number one. Oh, man, I've already shared a lot of good. And I've been filtering this through personal memory experience, not necessarily what I think was the most impactful moment from those years, because that's, we won national championships and we won, and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, personal memory wise, starting in, what were my years?
1985.
To 2012.
Because I'm trying to think, there wasn't really much in between.
Yeah.
12 and 15. So
yeah, I went and watched the championship games that we played in 2016 and 2017, but that's outside
that's
of
outside of your jurisdiction. Limits. I'm sorry.
Sorry, I can't go there. I can't go there. But yeah, and this is a weird number one, but again, I didn't pick these in order. I was on a choir trip with a Christian, not a cappella, but Christian performance choir group, Heels to Heaven at UNC. And we had a trip where we went and sang somewhere. I remember zero details about the trip other than
it was during.
We could not find a TV or a place to watch the Final Four game.
Oh my gosh.
Where we played Florida.
That was the what? Oh, 2000?
It would have been my freshman year. So, wasn't a freshman.
I was going to say, because
2001, maybe?
Yeah. This was.
I want to say 01.
So, after Vince, correct?
Yes.
And so, and this was one of Guthridge's final years?
Yeah, Guthridge took this team to the Final Four, but it was mostly recruits from Dean.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, we played Florida, Billy Donovan's Florida team.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't watch it. So, we all huddled around a radio, kids.
Oh, my
back
gosh.
Back in the day. You had radios, and that was, you had to turn a dial, and it got fuzzy, and then when it got less fuzzy, I won't say not fuzzy, That's when you could listen to it. And we found, I don't remember where we were.
Was it
I know
Woody's
it was
call?
In the state of North Carolina, but we found the Woody Durham call on the radio, and we all huddled around. And if you've never watched a radio or never participated in trying to listen to a radio with a group, that is
fun.
A frustrating experience, because I just want everybody to shut up. Don't clap. Don't be excited. I need to hear what Woody just said, or Mick just said.
Yeah. Like,
they're still talking, people. Be quiet. But yeah, it was funny. We were all sitting around in a relatively small room. It was, I don't remember where we were, but it was, I remember the layout of the room was like a youth room at a church where we were all staying. Something like that. And so we're sitting around on couches listening, and we have one little radio in the corner, and I kept moving closer and closer because everybody kept talking and like giving their own commentary, and I just wanted them to be quiet.
I would definitely be the one giving their own commentary, and I probably would have gotten slapped.
Yes, and then we lost, and it was made for a sad rest of the trip. But so weird to pick a loss as number one, but again, these were in no particular order.
Yeah.
But that was a personal memory of mine. And honestly, it was a great memory, even though we lost, because I got to participate in old school viewing / listening to a Tar Heel game.
Sounds like my experience in Seth Trimble's shot. You can go
That
one on my blog. But yeah, obviously, way more modern technology. There were projectors and flashing lights in mine. There was a radio in yours. My number one. Man, I just can't put a finger on it. It's on the wall behind us.
That's right.
Caleb Love, or that entire game, really. Ding dong, Duke is done. Caleb Love's shot, Puff Johnson's foul with seconds to play, where I think it was Keels tried to drive, and thank God continuation wasn't a thing, because that would have been an and one. Puff fouls him. He goes up for the shot. They call it and one. Would have tied the game. Instead, I think he went 1 for 2. It made a 2-point game in which we went down and iced it some more, and Mark Williams forgot how to shoot free throws.
Oh, so great.
Shout out Mark Williams.
Just Mark Williams, yeah, you're still my favorite.
We love you.
That was
great. I still remember.
I remember being so shocked that he missed those free throws. I'm like, I've watched a lot of Duke basketball in my day, and they just don't seem to miss those shots.
Yeah.
When the foot is out the door, like you cannot put him on the free throw line. And we did. And then he missed the shots. Mark Williams, if I ever see you, drinks on me, buddy.
Yeah. But yeah, by the way, Mark Williams played in the SEC tournament and won a game. So congratulations. He's still in college. Didn't know that was a thing.
Wow.
He was a freshman that year with Paolo and them. I definitely thought he went pro that year. But anyways, yeah, that was such a great team that we were able to beat. RJ Davis having a great game. Mondo in the post-game interview talking about his injury. So this is the biggest game of my life. I'm going to have to thug it out when it came to his foot. Rolled his ankle in the, I think it was that game, and then played messed up ankle in the...
Yeah, it was toward the very end of
towards
that
the very
game.
End of that game, rolled his ankle. Then he fouled out.
Yeah.
And so he was like, he had 20 and 20. Yeah. Absolutely love it. There's a handful of things that you didn't mention. One being Tyler Hansbrough. No mention to him. For me, there's a handful that I've missed. I thought about what's his name's.
See, we don't know his name. You're going to have to tell us.
Joel Berry.
There we go.
His performances. There's probably an entire game of the 2016-2017 season that I'm completely forgetting about outside of the matchup game. That entire team. I did mention them. But yeah, it's probably an individual game that I vaguely remember. But yeah, just such a great thing. And I unfortunately was not awake, so I cannot tell you my story of the Gonzaga game, but you can. So would you like to tell that story before we head on to Wildcat Sports?
No, I don't remember enough of that game other than the ending.
Okay.
But yeah, the Baylor game was the big one.
That was Oregon, I believe.
Was it Oregon?
The Final Four game?
No, I'm talking about the one that before that we would have at the Sweet 16 or so. Wasn't that Baylor that we nearly lost to?
Oh, you're talking about 2022. I was talking about 2017.
Oh, we rewinded.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I definitely can't remember
the
rewind. How old do you think my brain is?
That's a great question.
I can't remember things.
Yeah, but before we get into...
What was your name again?
Yeah. Before we get into some more college basketball, we're going to quickly, and by quickly I mean we're going to talk about it, Wildcat athletics, as a lot has changed, including coaches leaving. Coach Bennett got a head coaching job and at Pillion. Coach Bennett, I will 100% send this part to you. Love you. Loved my time being one of your students, being one of your kids. And it was an honor to get to know you better, to get coached by you. And your mentality of get up really helped me whenever I got thrown onto a sewage drain by Keyword Law.
It's humbling.
So what do you say?
I said, that's humbling.
Yeah, it is. And then Coach Lawson, not as much of a sappy goodbye to you, but I've really enjoyed this track season, getting to know you as my throwing coach. He took the offensive line job at Pillion behind Bennett. So happy with him getting that job. And it's a pretty major deal, as he also gets to go to his dream school, USC, to continue getting his teacher certificates and what all he has to do for that. So super happy for him. Chase Duncan got a job at Liberty High School. I don't know if that was football coach, head coach. I don't know if it was defensive coordinator, linebacker. No idea. I'm going to assume it was DC or head coach, but I do not know that.
Yep, I haven't heard.
And then, yeah, so a couple other guys, I've heard rumors of them leaving, but I do not know for sure. So I'm not going to say that until I 100% know for sure. Like, I've had a conversation with them face to face, because I've talked to Duncan and Lawson and Bennett. But yeah, and then the biggest news of the weekend, this was decided during the girls soccer game, during their warmups, it got announced. I remember I was texting my mom and I said, heard a rumor that Chad Ellis could get the AD job. And then less than 45 minutes later, I saw his wife's Facebook post, his wife being Miss Candace Ellis, saying, just a congratulations to my husband for getting the athletic director job. What was your first thoughts when you heard this news?
I love it. It's great. I think Chad has been just a perfect example of what you want in a coach, in that he is an educator that loves to educate, and he wants the best for his kids, and he expects the best from his kids. And having a kid who's been coached by him both in park and rec level all the way up to travel ball level, and now playing at the high school level, he has high expectations, and I like that. I like that kids are not left to do whatever they want to do. And Coach Ellis, yeah, big fan of that hire for AD. Excited to see what that means for all of the teams, because
very
to
excited.
Add that level of discipline and attention and focus that he's added on the baseball side, and some on football, but obviously baseball was his thing where he was the head coach. I always just love going to his parent meetings and things like that, where it's like he sets down the tone, and he sets the tone to be student athlete focused, and he's raising men, and now men and women, instead of just coaching a sport. So really excited for Chad. Excited to see what this means.
And as we've gotten into especially my high school life, like for my freshman year, there was a whole lot of BS that was allowed in the program, in like the Wildcat mantra. And as I've gone through my senior year, I've seen more and more of it dwindle. Like, it's getting better in the regard of, yeah, we're not going to let that fly. And I know Coach Ellis is going to let none of it fly. And so I'm happy to see what that means for in the weight room, how guys attack it on the baseball field, on the basketball court, on the football field, on the wrestling mat, on the soccer pitch, on the track field, how wide he's willing to go. Because we've only seen him in his role as football coach, baseball coach, and basketball parent. We've never seen him in the, because his son played middle school basketball. I've never seen him in this role of, hey, I'm in charge of everything now. We're going to see how much it all changes. And so I'm very excited for that. Anything else you want to add on, Coach Ellis?
Nope.
All right. Spring sports. All the sports had a lot going on. Softball is undefeated. They are 3-0 on the season. I went to their first game. I'm blanking. Whitmire, they played them fairly close, I think, for a few innings. And then fourth inning, we pulled away. I think the final score was like 6-2, 6-1, somewhere in there. Then they played Mid-Carolina at home and won that one handily. Can't remember the final score. Won that one handily. And then beat Thurman last night. Jocelyn Coleman pitched a phenomenal game. 7-4 was the final. Olivia Koster and Cam Williams led in hits. Cam, I believe, had 5 RBIs, according to a Facebook post that I saw, in a game where they scored 7 runs. That's
sufficient.
That's big time. Baseball lost 2 games to Saluda to open up region play. Really tough way to start. 2-4 in the first game with just 1 or 2 really bad bounces that gave them those, which left it. It was like 4th inning, 2 really huge moments for Saluda. A ball came either off of Parker Sutley, the pitcher, and went into kind of no man's land in between that, like, pitching mound, third base, and home plate area, whereas no one can really get there. I think it even hit the fence. And then, which allowed 2 runs to score on that one, and then just a handful of times where I was like, man, just couldn't get out of the sting there. But yeah, and then the second game, which I was not at, was 2-0 to Saluda, which is really unfortunate to see. Do you have anything you'd like to say? I know you weren't there, but do you have anything you'd like to say about that?
No, I've only
that?
Caught snippets of baseball, varsity baseball, because Theo's playing JV. But yeah, I'm excited to see how the varsity team bounces back from these losses and things. But yeah.
Yeah.
Nothing really there for me.
Track has had multiple meets since the last time we talked. Mid-Carolina meet was really good. Saw a lot of positives. I was at that one personally. Only real true negative was the fact that our best sprinter, Caden Conway, did not finish his 100 race because he started feeling his hamstrings messing with him, and then did not race against Emerald either the next week. So praying he has a speedy recovery. We expect to see him at Greenwood on Thursday. If you don't have anything to do, please be there and support any of the Lakeland's teams because they are all going to be there. But I'm going to read out what I wrote down. Very excited to see how this group of 7th to 10th graders grows, not just this season, but for the rest of their careers. Plus, you have the older guys in throws, sprints, and long distance. You're getting Elliot Emery and Robert Adams, Robert is so tough, man. He ran, I believe, a 12:30 2-mile, which is pretty solid. Elliot, of course, ran sub-12 because he's an absolute beast. But you love to see that, and then hopefully we can get the sprinters healthy. But that 4x4 that we saw against Mid-Carolina was wicked. I wish you had stayed to watch that because it was so entertaining. Off the line, I think it was Cam Mathis, off the line, took off. And the last 100, they got a little bit of room. By a little bit of room, I mean it went from 100-yard gap to 85-yard gap. Mm-hmm. It was still a very large gap. And then Lachlan Cole took it, and he went and left no doubt that he was going to have the lead. And then Cam Mathis got it, and he came around that curve.
You said Cam was the started it.
Who? Cam Blair, Cam Mathis.
2 Cams. That's on me, y'all.
Cam Mathis came around that start of the 200, and he started to see him doze off. And then me, Caden Conway, and Joe yelled at him. And I'm not going to take credit for this because Cam did this himself. He picked it up and ran a phenomenal end of that race to get the baton to Carver. And that white boy can move. Carver Davis came around that curve, Caden Conway speed. Like, it was insane to watch how fast he ran that. And he ducked it and left zero doubt. Probably could have won by a solid 150, but Carver almost came to a walk on those final 15 meters because of how no doubt it was. But yeah, that was phenomenal to watch. I mean, I don't know how the team did at Emerald. I just know that a handful of guys PR'd and a handful of guys didn't. But yeah, they took a lot of the guys who didn't get to go to mid to Emerald. But one thing about Emerald, shout out to Junior Desiree Christian. That guy, man, he ran the 110 hurdles and ran a 15-2. I don't know what Carver Davis ran in the 110 hurdles when he ran. I don't think it was that fast. My Lord. Now, obviously, he's also an SEC football recruit. He's going to get those heavy runs where he's like, yep, boom. Like, I think right now he's on a visit to Auburn. Like, he's gonna go crazy and do that. He ran a meet this past week where they had him off his middle school times. He was like, oh, that's cute. And then dusted everybody, that's the definition of wrong heat. So yeah, super excited to see all of the Lakelands. I'm hoping Emerald is at that Greenwood meet so I get to watch him in person at some point this season. But yeah, super excited to see the Lakelands at their track meets coming up this season. The Wildcats is on that website that we mentioned in the past, 96boosterclub.com. So look at that for track meet stuff. But yeah, super excited. And then soccer. Girls went undefeated this past week, 3-0, with wins over Lawrence, Mercy Rule, Short Half, Abbeville, 11-1, which is a 10-point Mercy Rule, and then won 5-0 in a full game against, who did we just play? Pillion. Yeah, so that was a fun game to watch. But yeah, super excited for them. The guys lost all three, but showed drastic improvement in all three games, in my opinion. First game was very physical, very few calls that went anybody's way. They missed handballs, they missed offsides, they missed just about everything. And so it was like your 8-year-old soccer league of, hey, just don't break anybody's hand, which they almost did. And yeah, a lot of physicality out of those Lawrence guys. But yeah, super, super bummed about that one, as I believe the final score was 7-1, but they did not allow a goal in the... Did they allow a goal in the second half? We did. Never mind. I'm tripping. It was, yeah, 7-0, but no mercy rule. It was a very good, solid game from Lawrence. And then Abbeville, that game was tight for...
Game was way tighter than the final score.
The final score, yeah. They scored 2 or 3 goals in the final 7-8 minutes or so. It was bang. Oh, it's 6-1. Dang. But we did get our first goal. Ace Harrelson. Would you like to talk more about how you felt about Ace that game? Because I don't remember it, honestly. I was looking away or something. I didn't see it.
Just a beast. There was this one. It was an indirect kick that we, penalty on the other team, we had an indirect kick from just outside of the box. So not a gimme. For sure. And Ace came up and took it. And after that kick, it didn't go in. They knocked it down and booted it, cleared it out. And he ran 75 yards at absolute full speed and was the first person back on defense as the other team was driving down the field. And yeah, shout out Ace. I absolutely love watching him play. He has the right attitude. He's coming into his own at being vocal in this last game. Was that yesterday?
It feels like that was yesterday. It's been a long day.
But yeah, yesterday he super vocal at the end of the game. You hear him yelling at his teammates, not yelling necessarily in a negative sense, but just getting on them. Guys, get back, go, do this, do that. And so that was really fun to hear some vocal leadership. Jackson's pretty much the only other one that I can hear being vocal
and distinctly know it's Jackson.
And Jackson does a great job in the goal. Like,
he's number one in the state of South Carolina.
He's,
according to stats, which is wild.
His blocks and saves, and he's absolutely fearless. His hand got injured in that Lawrence game, and he was chomping at the bit to get back in. And other Ben said it has been. Every single game, they've gotten better.
Yeah.
And despite the fact that they didn't score any in this last one and they did score in Abbeville, there was dramatic improvements at playing aggressively. You can definitely tell that a lot of these kids haven't played soccer and that they haven't played together.
Yeah.
And the more they are playing and playing together, the more intuitive it's becoming. Soccer is a very physical sport. I've watched soccer passively when it was on. I think I've mentioned in previous podcasts, before I went to Europe, had no appreciation for soccer, and then I watched a European World Cup soccer match in a bar and with a bunch of Swedes in Sweden and came to really appreciate soccer. And the one thing that you don't know if you're not a soccer fan is how just physically brutal that game is, both from a conditioning standpoint and from a contact standpoint.
Yeah,
these guys aren't wearing pads and they are running, like I said, full speed 75 yards into each other.
Yeah,
in a lot of cases. And yeah, just huge respect for the soccer program. It's the first year after not having a team last year,
and new coaches entirely
getting better every game. So keep it up, boys.
Yep. And I just want to say one more thing. I don't know if you've noticed it as much from the sidelines, but Kai Jackson.
Oh, my gosh.
My Lord. That
boy can go.
And he's getting killed out. He's getting... This is not, negatively killed. You think killed, oh, man, he's getting whooped. He's getting whooped, but he's also popping right back up and taking it 12 times a game.
Yeah.
Just getting...
There are very few people out there working harder than Kai.
Yeah.
He's working
and
on the field.
And, yeah, I mean, he took a lot of shots in the game, or, physical shots, not shots on goal, but very few times did he complain. I remember after middle of the first half, and I came in, it was me, Ace, and somebody else. I think Owen came in for JJ, Alex, and Kai. And the moment that ACL'd Kai's name, he went, "Thank God!" and he sprinted his butt to the sideline to go get water. He was so happy to be out of the game because he was exhausted. That was probably his first time getting a break. That was his first time getting a break all day. And then he took a pretty tough shot in the Abbeville game. But yeah, there were some times where it just looked like, man, he's struggling, but he was able to get through. So huge respect to Kai. I've gotten to know the kid. He's a great kid as well. Do you have anything else like to add about soccer? Guys or girls?
That's all I got. The girls team is really fun to watch.
Yes.
The boys team, like I said, getting better. The girls team is already better, and yes, they are super aggressive. And yeah, it was fun. Every game that we've gotten to early enough to see the girls game before it, I have been glad I was there. Those girls are absolutely killing it.
I don't think you were there. There was a corner kick in the first half, first 15 minutes. You got there pretty quick into the first half. But the first half, and we had already scored two. We scored two extremely quick, like 2 minutes, 3 minutes, bang, goal. Sure. And then there was another one. We had a corner kick. We kick it in. It deflects off of a bunch of people, deflects off the goalie's glove fast enough to where Brooke chests it in.
Wow.
From like me to the wall. So like 2 or 3 yards, chests it and puts it in. Very phenomenal play from her, as she's just proven time and time again to be an amazing, not just soccer athlete, but athlete in general, as she's done countless other, she's done volleyball, cross country, and track. So
nice.
She's an all around athlete, and you appreciate it in soccer because soccer needs that all around for sure. But yeah, we will go ahead and get on to football if you don't have anything else you'd like to say.
That's all I got.
Wildcat football has been absolutely bonkers. Coach Sargent is not flying in fully blind despite having possibly up to 5 coaches leaving. He's not flying in blind. He has already hired a strength and conditioning coach. I don't remember any of these guys' names. And if Coach Sargent is listening, I apologize for not knowing any of these guys' names. I'm also not in the football meetings. Theo's in the football meetings. He could probably tell you their names. He's hired a strength and conditioning guy to replace Duncan because he's leaving. He was the head strength and conditioning guy. He had his head out the door. And then he hired in an OC to replace a potential offensive coordinator who was leaving, as well as a DC to replace what Duncan was left as well, because Duncan and Henderson were both the split offensive and defensive coordinator. Or no, split defensive coordinator. So co-defensive coordinator. And so I don't know if Coach Duncan, or I don't know if Coach Henderson's going to fully pass that DC role off and Henderson just be linebacker or D-line or what the plan is. But I'm very curious to see. And also, yeah, and then special teams coordinators also. We're curious where that's going to happen too. If that's going to be a hire from within or if that's going to be a hire from one spot. And then do you have anything else you'd like to add about football?
That's all I got.
That's all we got. All right. And then the NFL, just two quick kind of crazy things. Chiefs sign Super Bowl MVP, that being Kenneth Walker, to a 3-year deal, I believe is what it was. So super huge to have two former Super Bowl MVPs on the same roster in the same backfield as well. And so you don't have to worry about throwing the ball as much when you have the best running back in the league. And then you've got Travis Kelce re-signing his deal for a 1-year, looking like a farewell tour-esque deal for him as well, so super happy for that as a Chiefs fan. And then Ravens signing Max, or the Ravens Max Crosby trade. Have you heard any of the craziness around this?
I have not.
Yeah, you're so not on NFL stuff. No hate, but just
nope.
No. Yeah.
No time. That's what you meant. No time.
No, I meant no hate towards you for not being on it. But Max Crosby, man, this has been absurd. So he got traded to the Ravens for a bunch of first round picks and possibly a player as well. And then Crosby's physical came through and it was a bunch of red flags. And so they said, nah, we're good. And sent it back. It was like almost 48 hours later, wow, by the way. This is a wild thing. We're sitting there talking and me and Ace is probably the only other football fan in the group chat, like NFL football fan. There's a handful of soccer fans in the group chat. But we're sitting there and talking on the bus. And I was like, yo, the trade just didn't go through. And I was like, what? He texted me, like back texted me, or we're sitting there in the stands watching the girls game. I was like, that's absurd that something that major didn't go through. But yeah, so that's pretty crazy. But the Ravens did sign Trey Hendrickson out of free agency, the former Bengal. So Joe Burrow still doesn't get to rest at night knowing that there's still an elite pass rusher on every team. Sorry, buddy. And then, yeah, so that's all I got for NFL. I know for a fact you don't have anything to say about the NFL.
I sure don't.
And so we'll get to college basketball. What were your reactions to ACC tournament Duke in that quarterfinal game?
Who did they play in?
They played Florida State.
Game? Oh, Florida that was State. The, yeah, yeah. We watched. Did we watch all the way to the end? I don't think we watched all the way.
No, we watched all the way to the end. It was the last second shot.
That oh, they yeah. Missed this is it was... the one that went down. I'm confusing my Duke games. We have a long-standing policy in this house that we don't watch Duke win.
Yeah.
And so when it comes very obvious that Duke is going to win,
we turn the TV off.
We turn the TV to something else. We watch something else. And I couldn't remember if this was the one that we did that or not.
We had to watch it because Carolina was on next. That's unfortunate. But
yeah, we knew we were coming up next. And so we watched the end of the game. But yeah, Florida State, huge shout out to them because they could have very easily, about halfway through this season, been like, nah, I'm good. I'm going to go get some NIL deals or something.
Or football. Yeah. Like
I'm out.
As a program and as individuals.
What's that new coach's name? I forget his name.
I don't know his name.
He's just really done a great job of keeping these kids bought in. And you saw that. You saw the fight.
I loved his halftime speech where he said, it was very similar to Mac Brown's speech against Clemson that year that we almost beat them, where it was like, just be number one for tonight. Don't be number one all the time. Just be number one for tonight. And it was very similar to that. I don't remember his exact words, but it was something similar to that. So I'd take you over anybody else in the country. Go do this.
Yeah.
And I truly believe in that.
So I hate that last second shot didn't go in. I thought it was a good look. It's one of those where if it goes in, everybody loves it. If it doesn't go in, every critic is, you should have drove the ball in.
They should have called a timeout.
And I'm... usually, I think there was like 8 seconds, maybe.
There was plenty of time for a timeout and
plenty
set
of time
play.
For a timeout and a second play. But also, when you do that, you're letting the defense set.
That's
up.
Exactly what I think.
And that's
Jay
the
Will
Hubert
said.
Davis,
yeah, or whoever it was.
And Roy Williams' philosophy is usually 7 seconds or less. Don't call the timeout. 7 seconds or more, do call the timeout
because you have time to get a rebound.
Because there's the setting up a play. And all that. So I am certainly not going to nitpick, should he have called the timeout or should he have not? I thought he got a great look. The fake like he was going to drive was enough to give him some space to take a shot, and it just didn't go in. And you hate that for him, especially because Duke won. But yeah, I thought that was a fun end to the game, especially if you're a Blue Devil. But the rest of us, we can hope somebody else finds a way to beat Duke.
Virginia.
Anybody. Need anybody.
Pretty much.
$40 to beat Duke. I will give you $40.
We will buy a t-shirt. That's a joke. That's right. But yeah, if you beat Duke in the national championship game, I might buy your jersey.
I would still Hayward. It was Hayward?
It was Gordon Hayward. Yeah.
Gordon Hayward. I would have bought a Hayward jersey if he'd have put that shot in.
Yeah. And what year was that?
You were...
2010?
You were asleep in the other room.
That was 2010. I
remember. And I was... quietly watching in my home office on a laptop.
Because 15 was Wisconsin, so 10 would have been Butler.
And again, I have a hard and fast we don't watch Duke win rule, and so I was going to stay up and watch that game because I'll stay up and watch it until it
Duke's
gets away from
20.
Us. Yeah. And if Duke gets, there's 5 minutes left and Duke takes a 10-point lead, I'm considering turning it off. If the next play they don't get a stop, I'm turning it off kind of situation. And so obviously that one came down to a last second heave that would have won it. And so watched the whole darn thing and then had to go to bed mad that Duke won.
I'm the type of person, if Duke's up 6 in the second half, I turn it off. Like, I'm not even risking a chance.
I'm not playing with that.
I'm going to go upstairs and beat Duke on college football. I'm not going to sit down here and... Yeah, which is why I didn't watch the ACC tournament, ACC championship in football this year, or the Clemson game, because I knew they were going to win that one. But yeah, they're a clear favorite to win tonight. That's at 8:30, so y'all know the result of that one. We do not. And then Ole Miss has been on a miracle run these past few days. It is literally going down to the wire. It's the 3-point game with 47 seconds left with Ole Miss and Arkansas right now. So you love to see that kind of fight in them as they're fighting for their season, because they're an under 500 team that looks to be an automatic bid, which would be awesome. I don't care if it's the SEC. I'd much rather it be the MAC gets a team that's won 3 games all season, but whatever. It's fine. It's March. I'll take what I can get. And yeah, then there's, have you seen this controversy over the LED court in the Big 12? Have you seen any of that?
No.
Golly, you need to get on social media more.
Yeah, have a job.
But yeah, so Theo and I were talking about this, but there's been a lot of controversy over the LED courts and how long they or how bright they get or whatever, and how glitchy they can be, like in pregame, like in setting up, there was a lot of glitching and stuff, which that's why they did it, but it was setting up. And then, but I really liked what the Arizona coach said. I can't remember his name. Bruce Pearl, maybe? Nope, that's the Auburn guy. The Arizona coach, when he was like, we'll play on asphalt and double rims. I don't care what the court looks like. Just give us an opponent to play. But, and I like that mentality, but at the same time, you can't have a court that glitches out. You can't see where the three-point line is. And so, I'm very curious to see, because that was my thought process. I was telling Theo, I was like, anytime you get a court like that, one false step, and there's you leave footprints or whatever, like you'd never know. Like you could hit the wrong button and all of a sudden the court is pitch white. You can't call out of bounds anymore. There's so many issues. Yeah, and
it seems like a not very well thought through.
It was not.
Hey, it was one of those Jurassic Park moments. They were so busy trying to figure out if they could. They never stopped to think if they should.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can do that. But does it benefit the game at all?
But there were a bunch of people mad about the wooden court for some reason. I guess it might have been one of those where it's like a football stadium.
Yeah.
And you do that. Which, those are stupid. We'll get into that in April.
I still don't understand, though, whose job are we trying to fix here with an LED court? Like, the people that put in the floors? Like,
you still have to put in the floor.
They still have, I don't get it. I'm not trying to hate here, but what problem were we trying to solve? Like, now, if you tell me that these LED floors could somehow
reduce injury,
help, like, actually call out of bounds based on where somebody steps, does it have sensors in it that, like, he stepped out of bounds, and I know because I can see it. Like,
and I can see that the ball's in his hand.
Technological advancement or something. But the guy who painted the lines on the hardwood did a fine job. And those we should use those. I don't understand why we would need an LED version of where the lines were drawn on the floor. Like, that, they were drawn in the right place, and they stay there until you move the hardwood. So, yeah, it seems like a problem or a solution in search of a problem.
Yep. And then the final thing we'll get into before we hit the outro is the Big Ten. They've had a crazy tournament. None of the teams they triple by, except for Michigan, so 1-3 record in the tournament as a triple by getter for the Big Ten. So Michigan won and Illinois lost. They were another triple bye getter. And then Nebraska and Michigan State, they all lost. That surprises me. And so now you're getting a semifinal of Michigan versus Wisconsin. Already happened. Yeah, that has already happened. And then number 6, Michigan won that one, by the way. Purdue and UCLA, they will play tonight. Or they're playing right now, one of the two. And so that'll be a very fun game to see all that stuff going down. But we're excited to see how that shapes out for March, which goes right into my outro. So, yeah, we got the Tar Heels to talk about. Tar Heels. We forgot to talk about the Tar Heels stuff going on.
They didn't do much to be talked about.
And then both Clemson games that I want to get into.
Sure. Go for it.
So, Duke game, I stopped watching with about 12 minutes to go because even when we were playing Carolina, I still follow the we don't watch Duke win policy. He does not. He breaks.
I take my medicine when Duke is beating the Tar Heels. I'm like, you know what? I'm a fan.
If I
could be in the 8-20 season in the room when Duke beat us by 30, then I can watch it on TV.
Yeah, that's valid.
So I definitely watched the entire game, but man, that second half.
But I didn't watch it because I had the longest weekend in the history of weekends, and we were losing an hour, so I went to sleep.
Yeah, it was probably a wise choice, not going to lie.
Yeah, I went to sleep, and the birds were not chirping on Sunday morning, so I knew there was no comeback. And he also didn't wake me up, so I knew there was no comeback. And then the Clemson games. The first one narrowly outlasted Clemson because RJ Godfrey went crazy. Second game almost came back against Clemson and narrowly lost it because of basketball. I also went to bed early on that one because I was It was a Thursday. And at 9:30.
At the point when you went to bed, it definitely did not feel like back-to-back threes. Going to come back.
They had just hit back-to-back threes, and I was like, you know what?
Yeah,
I'm going to enjoy my Friday and go to sleep.
It was an ugly game for more than three quarters, like 7/8 of the game. And so when Benjamin went to bed, there was no faulting him. but again, I take my medicine with the Tar Heels and I watch every second, even if it's a loss, as long as I'm physically able to watch and I can stay awake. And so I actually started playing Block Blast on my phone during the second half.
Not a sponsor.
Yeah, not a sponsor. But Block Blast.
Hit us up.
I have 7 digits in my high score Block Blast. I'm just saying. Find me. You know where to find me. You've seen my... And so anyways, the Block Blast, I was playing that. You know, I'm a firm believer. Go where you go, do what you do. So I started only watching Carolina's offensive sets.
Which was only good part of the second half.
It wasn't even the second half. It was just those last 2 or 3 minutes or whatever. It was, and so that started working. And so I started playing Block Blast while we were on defense and watching while we were on offense and playing Block Blast while we were on defense. And
man, I wish you had told me that so I could put it in the article.
As long as it was working, I kept doing it. And it almost worked all the way till the end.
Shot that Derek Dixon hit.
Yeah, big
off
time.
1 foot, off balance, bank shot.
Yeah.
Like,
big time.
What?
Yeah.
I think I said, how the heck did he make that out in chorus class? Like, I was watching the replay. I'm like, what? Like,
how did he do that? Yeah. Derek Dixon, not afraid of the big moments.
Not at all.
For sure.
Hopefully we can see that a little bit more.
I'm going to need that, Derek.
Yeah, we're going to need that for sure. But yeah, that is about all we have for today. So a quick outro. So obviously you're probably thinking, what will March Madness coverage look like for two primarily basketball, college basketball talking podcasters? For me personally, my plan is, whether he decides to follow me or not, is Sunday after the selection show for the guys, I will come on here and I will break down like my favorite games and I'll give you kind of like my rundown of, all right, here's my Sweet 64. The round of 64 games, here's who I think could shock you. And talk. And then I'll give you my national champion, all that stuff. That'll probably be slightly shorter than this one. Hopefully shorter than this one. This is going way longer than I thought it would. But yeah, if you don't have anything else to say, which you don't, we will see you guys next time. This is We Are Ben Meredith from the Sports Report. We will see you guys next time. Go Tar Heels.